Hey Potters, welcome to episode 227 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! I am your co-host Amber.
I'm Valerie.
I had the word podcast still stuck in my head.
It's okay. And at this point, we go autopilot. Tired.
My brain is on autopilot. Like, I don't feel sick. I just feel exhausted.
Yeah, well, I mean, for good reason. It's fine. I'm exhausted because I've worked 70 hours already this week. So, you know, reasons.
Sorry, guys. I got the COVID vaccine. So I literally can't lift my arm now because it's so sore and I'm just wiped out.
She a bit exhausted, but that's okay. Step one of the process. Yeah. Yay.
My body thinks it's infected with COVID, but it's not actually. For which I'm very grateful.
Right? You get to feel all the symptoms. Yay.
But unfortunately, because my arm is so sore, I'm basically functioning as if I only have one working arm, which means I could not really work on cosplay. I can't even sew because I can't lift my arm to be able to move the piece around. I actually tried. I can hold something in my hand. I just can't move the arm around to be able to rotate the piece. Mm-hmm. Which is a little difficult to do. I was one hand typing all day today.
Oh, fun.
Because I couldn't lift my arm up high enough to get to the keyboard without a lot of pain.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Yeah, I've been doing pretty much everything with one arm, and I can't think of any portion of cosplay that you can actually only do with one hand.
Painting.
I was thinking, well, I hold my pieces down or I hold them up to me whenever I'm painting. Because I do detail work. The only thing I could think of potentially was maybe hot gluing.
Yeah, you really only need one hand for hot gluing too.
But then it gets really hard to load the hot glue gun with only one hand.
I would argue you could probably do some pretty decent ironing too. I mean, if you laid the fabric out correctly with one hand and you ironed it correctly with the one hand, you're fine. There's no reason for you to use the second hand as you iron. Unless you want to get burned.
I only use the second hand to move the piece around when I'm ironing.
You just gotta
because
pick
usually
up,
it's
put it down.
Than the ironing board. Exactly. You just do it over and over and over again. Which, thankfully, there's not too much that I have left to iron. Although the shirt that I'm finishing up is going to need both ironing and pressing as soon as I'm done. Because it was in storage for a long time, yo. And those fold have set. You know, I always wondered why they put fabric in bolts the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has that permaset fold right in the center of the fabric.
Right in center.
And it's so hard to get it out. No matter how much you steam, you can use all sorts of chemical products, relaxers, you can use starch. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you just can't get the permaset fold out. And you just kind of have to pattern around it. So annoying.
Well, I'll say it's for two reasons. One is, depending on the grain line of the fabric, you can actually utilize it where it's on the fold and use that as your fold line as you're putting down your pattern pieces. So that does save you like half the trouble. But the other one is just a matter of they can cram in more fabric into the store when it's on those versus the big long tubes that you'll see at the bigger warehouses.
Well, you can get a home furnishing fabric, which is 108 mm-hmm. inches.
On the rolls.
Those they store on rolls in your standard fabric store in the same place that they have the bolts.
But
so I
not
would just
as many.
Assume put everything on a tube.
Not as many. When you look around, though, it is a fraction of how many are on those small planks.
How much of that fabric do they actually sell? How much of it actually sits on the shelf?
See, that's what I really wonder, too. I'm really
they can store less.
I'm really curious to find out how much of that home decor fabric do they actually make a sale off of? Because there are, at least in our area, there are a ton of home decor fabrics outlets that you can just purchase anything that you need here.
I meant fabric in general. In other words, I don't think they need to store as much fabric as they do. Just keep one or two samples of the weave of fabric, of that type of fabric, and then just have swatches of the different colors. You don't actually have to have them on hand. Just say, okay, I want this one. Order it online. Okay, come back the next day. It's in the store.
You have never worked retail, have you?
I actually did for almost a decade. Thank you.
That just screams to me all the customers who are like, why don't you have this fabric right here, right now? I need it immediately. I'm going to get you fired. I need your manager.
I was the manager.
And I would immediately be, I need your manager because I'm going to get you fired for not having the fabric I need. I hate that because
so
I'm
much
so
for
accurate.
cosplay updates. No, I dealt with all of those problems. I am not sorry that I don't do it anymore.
I don't think anyone is not sorry when they leave retail land because it is just awful.
Kids, be really kind to retail workers all
Please.
the time because they have to put up with so much from customers. Please be kind to them. Really, seriously, please be kind to them.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. No cosplay for Amber because, needle in arm. Still have not found missing needle. Was not in arm.
Was not an arm, so at least you know that
No,
much.
not that kind of needle.
I'm sure the needle size was very different too.
Well,
Oh, really?
I'm not a fan that it was much longer than my sewing needle.
That's usually the
But at least
case.
it was much thinner at least.
They at least make sure to put it in your non-dominant arm?
I did not get asked and I did not have a choice.
Oh.
Because the way they had it set up, everything went into your left arm,
Oh, okay.
regardless, just because of how the seating arrangement was done.
Mm.
They were on the left of whoever was sitting in the chair to get poked. So I wasn't ever asked, but thankfully my left arm is my non-dominant arm,
Okay.
so it worked out.
I feel really bad for those who are left-handed then.
I can't imagine if I would have had the shot in my dominant arm, how I would
Be
get
functioning?
around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that there are people who do. I'm not
Oh,
making fun
yeah.
of them. Just, I am so right side of my body dominant that I would literally have trouble doing anything with just my left arm, with the exception of playing music.
When you're so used to something for 30 plus years, I mean, that just becomes your normal, your standard. That's just what it is.
Yes.
So,
Yep.
hey, my cosplay updates. I tried to start patterning on a day off, and then work happened, so I didn't really get much done. The most that I have figured out is I know exactly how I want to make this one costume now, and I bought myself more fabric because I always need more fabric for reasons. Here's my logic. I'm not a fabric hoarder unless I overspill on the allotment of storage. I have two storage containers, and as long as they don't overflow, I'm good. And they're not
I'm
overflowing.
laughing. I'm laughing because of the cross stitch that I made you.
Right? Which is sitting so lovingly right above my
One
table.
that says you are a fabric hoarder.
I'm very much a fabric hoarder. That's how I stayed warm during our freeze.
And it will get used at some point, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Like this is the annoying part is I just want to sew so badly right now. And I just can't 'cause of work, 'cause I'm literally putting in 14 to 16 hour days and I'm just so tired by the end of it. Like as soon as this podcast recording is done, I'm going straight to bed. Like I'm that tired. I'm done.
And I know the feeling.
So I'm just like this sucks 'cause I want to sew and I have things on my dress form ready to go and it's like I don't have the energy, mental energy done. Bye.
Plus, the weather is nice too.
It is nice. It's really nice
So
outside.
we're finally able to like crack a window and put on some good music and just get to town on cosplay.
Until the big thunderstorms start rolling in, 'cause Texas.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it is severe weather season, or at least it will be very, very shortly.
It's coming up on tornado season already. It's just like, oh, goody, yay. So much to look forward to.
You get so used to it, honestly.
You do.
I have crafted during severe weather. I have gone outside to take pictures of funnel clouds. You just don't do what we do. You just get used to it.
You just get used to it after a while. Just don't do what they do in the movies. That's the big thing because they always do it wrong in the movies. With the exception of Twister, I think Twister is the one movie where, except for when they had to go run into a barn with all of that dangerous equipment around them, that was awful. But as far as like safety procedures on what to do if there's a tornado around you and you have nowhere to go, like go into a ditch, do this, do this, do this. Don't go into underneath an overpass because that's the worst place to go to. Like Twister was smart about where they put people because they were like, yeah, this is what you would do in a real world situation. Thank you,
Make
Twister.
sure make sure you stay out of the way of the spinning cow.
Yeah, that helps too.
Move out of the way.
Very nice.
All right. Shall we get into our topic for today?
Yeah, let's get into our topic.
Before I make any more bed puns.
So moving right along then, we're going to be talking about some cosplay and crafting tips, things that we wish we knew before we started. And this is going to be volume one because obviously we're going to have lots of things to share with you over the time. Between the two of us and our ungodly amount of experience of 20 plus years, we know everything and anything. And there is so much that I think both of us wish we had known before we had started our crafting journeys that would have made things so much easier in the long run.
I wouldn't say that I know everything yet. I still have so much to learn.
You know a lot more stuff than I do, like especially when it comes to anything for armor or prop work. Like I go to you because you know so
I
much.
have ideas. They're not always workable in practice, but I have ideas.
Ideas are still better. I still can't
I
make
can
rounded
MacGyver
shapes.
just about anything.
I got you covered on the fabric stuff. I'm fine with fabric or wigs.
In fact, when I was at FedEx, grabbing my vaccination paperwork, I was actually very tempted to take the armor patterns I had bought from Kamui and add those to my order so
Oh.
that when I was done, I would be able to sit down and cut them out and start working with them to see if they work for me.
Yeah.
Because those patterns, which speaking of things that you wish you knew, those patterns were made for her. The curvature of her body and her size, she is much smaller than me. And I know this for sure because I have seen her in real life when she came to visit us. And I kind of wish that I had known a little more about pattern drafting and making it fit my body and curvature. One of the best things I think that you can do for cosplay in general, not just making armor or seamstressing, just in general, when you're making costumes to fit your body, having a good solid foundation of how shapes work and how tailoring works. And by tailoring, I mean making a 2D object fit a 3D object, which is your body. And the different ways that, cutting and folding and manipulating will affect that 2D object, whether it's paper, it's foam, it's fabric, they all work the same way. So when you make armor, it's actually a lot like sewing a shirt. The only difference is which part of your body you're molding it around. But a lot of the fitting concepts are exactly the same. And I wish that I had been able to make a more in-depth study of tailoring before I started doing it, because my first cosplay drafts, both the costume fabric part and the armor part, were very boxy. They did not fit me well at all.
Well, since you mentioned that, a good thing that I was going to bring up was when it comes to sewing patterns, they are never the same size as retail sizes. So if you like go buy something from Macy's and you're like a size 8 at Macy's, you are not going to be a size 8 on a sewing pattern. Because in fact, all
Even
the sew.
those retail sizes aren't the same.
No, especially for women, because it's so all over the place. Like you might be a 5 here, but you're a 10 here, or it's just ridiculous. So when it comes to getting a sewing pattern, don't look at like, oh, I'm a size 8, so I should just follow the 8. Do not do that whatsoever. You need to actually go by your actual body measurements, your bust, your waist, your hips, and whatever else is listed on the pattern. Follow the pattern and all those little numbers. Don't do the numbers at the top. That'll just fool you and you'll cut it out wrong. And then you're going to be really mad at yourself later.
Speaking of patterns and coming in different sizes and being able to comprehend them,
Right.
knowing how to read patterns is a skill.
It is this major skill, and it's worth taking the time to invest in learning how to read a pattern, and how to make that pattern work. Because some people are like, oh, I know exactly what a dart is, but then you try to do it on a pattern for the first time and you're like, what? That's not how darts work.
For the longest time, I didn't realize what the layout meant.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is how you're supposed to actually physically lay it out on the fabric piece. No, I just went to town and I just laid it out wherever it fit. Screw the bias.
Yeah, buddy.
I was a college student at the time. I couldn't afford more fabric, so I just put the pieces wherever they fit in between each other, like Jenga pieces.
Yep.
No, it has a layout for a reason. Bias matters.
Bias matters. Grain line
Yes.
matters.
Yes. It's also good to know a little bit, I don't want to say too much in depth, a little bit about the different types of fabric and the properties that they have in general. Like you don't necessarily have to know the thread count of satin by memory. But it's good to know what kind of properties satin has versus cotton versus denim. It helps you not only choose the right fabric, but be able to more confidently evaluate the fabric in the fabric store if you happen to be there, so that you can make sure it's what you need.
Yeah, that's actually one of my points too, was kind of going off of that, is fabric is going to do what it wants to do. You can't force it to drape a certain way. You can't force it to stretch. So kind of learning how each fabric works and how you can manipulate it will give you a better idea of what is the appropriate fabric choice for your project. And it's worth spending that little bit more time and a little bit extra money to get the right fabric for your cosplay. Because if you're trying to get, oh, I don't know, if you're trying to get leather to do a four-way stretch bodysuit on you, you're gonna have a bad time. Fabric is gonna do what it wants to do, don't you? I mean.
Honestly, before I started making cosplay, which I would consider cosplay to be a project, like making a costume is a project.
Yes.
Each costume is its own project. And I've never been great at time management, ever in my life. I am fantastic at procrastinating. So good at procrastinating. When you're trying to make a cosplay for a convention, which means you have a deadline because a convention's going to happen on a very particular day and you want to have it done by then. Oh man, I was so bad at meeting those deadlines. Just having those basic time management skills, not project management per se, but being able to break down your cosplay into parts. And then schedule out how long it's going to take you to do each part, what you're going to need. Maybe you need to budget a couple of extra days just in case something happens, like life gets in the way, family emergency, whatever. So that you have it done by the convention and not have to rush. Thankfully, I've never had the problem of doing the whole 24 hours before the con, stay up until 4 in the morning making the costume. Haven't
Right.
ever done that. I refused to stay up all night to do anything. I didn't even do it studying in college. I just said, nope, gonna study in the morning, go to bed, wake up early, study. Not gonna stay up all night. It's more detrimental to stay up all night than it is to just go to bed and take your licks in the morning. So it would have been good for me to kind of have better planning skills for setting up cosplay that I wanted to have done by a deadline. It's not so bad if you don't have a deadline, if you're just making the cosplay for fun and you're not going to wear it for a particular date. There's not so much importance on deadlines.
So fun one that I want to bring up, because I found that a number of like master level cosplayers don't do this, and that kind of shocked me. Always wash your fabrics before you start working with them. And there's three very important reasons why. The first one is it removes any excess dirt, stains, or dyes and chemicals that are on the fabric, because those are pre-treated and they're sitting there and they're on the store shelf, and they don't always do a good job getting all of that stuff cleaned off. And you
Also,
don't.
people's hand
Yeah, that was actually part of the next part too, is that because people have been coughing and sneezing and touching these fabrics, and if you don't pre-wash it, all of that's going to be up on your body as you start working with it and putting it on yourself. Doesn't that just sound delightful in COVID era? Not so much,
This was
no.
even before COVID. It's even worse now.
Right? And the other reason is that most fabrics will shrink down by about 1 to 2%, which is not a whole lot, but at 1 to 2% once you initially wash it. And that doesn't sound so bad, but if you've already made your costume, you stitch it together, and then you throw it into the wash and you pull it back out, you might find it's just a teensy bit a little bit tighter and it's not as comfortable to wear as it once was, and that can be kind of annoying. And there are some fabrics that do shrink a little bit higher percentage than others. So if you make sure you always, 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 when you buy your fabric, wash it. And make sure you follow those washing instructions too. It may be that you can stick it into your washing machine and you're good, or you need to actually get it dry cleaned. You can take fabric to the dry cleaner. I swear you can. Dry cleaners do not care. They're like, this is a sale. I will do it for you. It's fine. They've dry cleaned way worse, I promise.
Organic fabrics, especially things like cotton that aren't synthetic cotton, wool, a lot of those will have pretty heavy shrinkage,
Oh, yeah.
like a full size or more. And speaking of sizing, wear whatever undergarments you're going to wear when you're doing fitting.
Yes.
This includes on the dress form. You can put undergarments on a dress form. The dress form is not going to care. I mean, if you have your windows open and it's sitting in front of a window, your neighbors might look at you funny. But honestly, it makes a big difference when you're doing fitting, especially if whatever you're going to wear underneath your costume, it doesn't even have to be undergarments. Maybe it's a shirt. Maybe you're just wearing a plain shirt underneath, or you're wearing boy shorts or biker shorts or something, especially if you're wearing armor. Sometimes you may build your harness on top of an undersuit. You need to have that on when you are doing your fitting because it can add a size or two to the final product that you're making. And if you don't account for the undergarments and you make it, you may suddenly find that you can't wear your undergarments when you go to put on that costume after you finished it. That has other problems. Sometimes being publicly legal ones. So please account for that.
And it affects the same thing with your measurements too. As you're taking your body measurements, wear those undergarments too, because the clothing is going to fit on top of that. You want to take that into account.
A lot of commercial patterns will take those into account for you. In fact, it's called ease, and it will tell you on the pattern envelope how much ease is accounted for in the measurements. It'll say like 1/4 inch ease on each side. Well, that tells you that the finished garment is going to have an extra 1/4 inch in addition to the measurements that are given on each side. And that's to account for things like undergarments and moving of the body and just general comfort.
So my next one I have is sewing machine related, and this one is a majority of your issues with your sewing machine can be resolved by cleaning and rethreading. And I mean like 99.99% of the issues probably. Maybe not that high, but still, like you'll be surprised at how many issues you can resolve with your sewing machine if you just take out the bobbin, take out the thread, give it a little clean down, do a little oiling, rethread it, and everything works like magic. You got a rat's nest in your bobbin case, clean and rethread. You got skipping stitches, clean and rethread. You got your bobbin thread pulling too tight, clean and rethread. I mean, that's easiest thing that you can possibly do, and you can save yourself a lot of money from having to shuck your machine over to a repair shop. You can just take care of it yourself.
This is going to be my favorite subject now.
Oh no.
If you are going to work with dangerous tools or smelly chemicals, assemble a safety kit before you use them. And by safety kit, I do not mean a first aid kit to be used after you have cut yourself. If you're going to work with smelly chemicals, you need a respirator. You need a quality respirator with
Quality.
quality cartridges
Yes.
that get replaced periodically. They do not last forever. You also will probably want to get, and I say this with a handful of salt given current times, but an N95 or equivalent filtering mask. You don't have to wear the respirator all the time, but if you're working with fine particulate or things like paint or fiberglass, you need a respirator, not the disposable masks that you can get for a dollar in the store. This is literally the health of your lungs, which will be with you for the rest of your life, because glass does not come out of your lungs. It stays there. So spend good money on that. If you are going to be working with things like heat guns or high temp hot glue or fiberglass or anything that gets really, really, really hot, you're probably going to want to get a quality set of gloves so that you don't burn your hands.
Yes.
Yes, all of this is from experience, except the glass in the lungs. Thank goodness. You're also probably going to want to get a package of disposable gloves, whether
Yes.
that's latex or rubber or some sort of non-latex material if you're allergic. Anytime you work with smelly chemicals that could possibly cause you cancer or other sorts of disease if it touches your skin, you're going to want to put on gloves. And they're not gloves you're probably going to want to use over and over again because a lot of these chemicals you actually can't put through the wash. It tells you on the washing machine, like, do not come in contact with certain chemicals, especially flammable ones,
Right.
for what should be obvious reasons. But just in case, yes, you can light things on fire in there. So just get disposable ones. And then I know I made fun of the first aid kit, but do keep one on hand, particularly when working with tools that have cutting edges, like band saws or scroll saws, basically any kind of saw. Even some sanding equipment can have, pretty sharp edges if you're drilling, if you're using box cutters, X-Acto knives, that sort of thing. It's not a big deal if you cut yourself. It happens all the
All the
time.
time.
All the time. People make mistakes. I'm not going to get on you for cutting yourself because it was a mistake. Just keep it on hand just in case. And you'll want to do the normal things like, wash it with soap and water and take care of business. That should be pretty common sense. But it's good to have those supplies on hand before you use the sharp, nasty tools and the chemicals and all that sort of stuff. And not
After.
after you have passed out from the chemical smell. If you do not know how to read an MSDS sheet, please learn how to read an MSDS sheet. If you don't know what that is, go Google it right now. It's very useful to know how to, read critical information like this. It could literally save your life.
Right. So, more with the sewing machine, changing out your sewing needles every often. And I know professionals recommend that you do this with every project. I personally find that to be really, really wasteful because those suckers get expensive really quickly. But do it every few months if you sew like one or two times a week, like every 4 or 5 months at that point. If you only pull out your sewing machine like once a year for one project, not that end of the world. Maybe change your needle afterwards because you've got a whole year to play with that sucker. But the reason that you want to do that is it helps reduce skip stitches. It maintains the thread tension really nice and evenly. And it'll also reduce fabric pulling. You will actually be able to see over time if a needle is starting to like prick the fabric just a little bit too rough, and that's because it's been used so many times making so many holes that it's starting to wear and pull at the fabric, whereas a new needle will help reduce that from occurring.
It will also ease the burden on the sewing machine of having to punch through fabric over
And
and
over
over
and
and
over.
over again, especially if you use thick fabrics a lot, like leather or
Yes.
pleather or vinyl. I mean, just like scissors cutting various things, there's a reason that they have sharpeners for scissors. They get dull. Well, so do needles.
So do needles. And even the heavy duty ones, I mean, they do wear down over time. So you just have to kind of be mindful of it and change them out every couple of projects, every couple of months, depending on how often you sew.
And I think this is the one that I still need to remind myself of often. It's okay to take a break from cosplay.
Yeah, that's a really good one because we get so involved in it, and it's our mindset of okay, yeah, you just have laser focus, and I want to make all the things, and they got to be all done now, and you just get hyper focused on everything cosplay related that you forget about, oh, I'm a human being and I need to take a break sometimes.
And that's both taking a break every so often, like every few hours, as you're working on a cosplay, like your eyes will literally fatigue from staring hard at the project. Your eyes have muscles in them too, by the way, and they get fatigued just like any other muscle in your body. Your brain will also get fatigued. So it's good to just kind of step back, do something else for like a half hour or an hour. Watch your favorite anime show, watch an episode of it, or maybe sit down and eat a snack or go take a quick walk around your block. Just anything to get away from the cosplay. Don't sit at your cosplay table and play with your phone for a half hour. Like, get up, move. So that kind of break. But also, when you're in the process of, driving toward a convention, you don't have to work every single day, every free moment that you have on that cosplay. I get that it's a deadline. I get that you really want to wear the costume for this costume on this particular date. I understand. I've been there, done that. It's okay if you don't. Life sometimes just gets in the way. Mother Nature does not account for the fact that you really want to wear this cosplay at this convention. Does not care. So it's okay to take a step back, take a day or two off for yourself. Just forget that that costume exists. Do something else that makes you happy. Not just doing something else to do something else, but do it because it makes you happy. And that way you can relax your brain, relax your body, relax your spirit, and recharge, re-inspire yourself so that when you go back to working on it, then you can just hit it hard and get it done. Otherwise, it just kind of becomes a slog after a while. And that's not fun.
It's a good way to kind of refresh yourself. And then also, especially if you're going through with it and you're like, man, this is becoming such a pain in the butt. This is such a burden. I don't want to do this anymore. That's usually a good sign of, take a break, step away from the costume, do something else. And then maybe in that process of getting recharged, you're like, all right, I'm ready to get back into it again. And you'll be more motivated to go back to your costume. We get it. We have both done builds where it's just been day after day, month after month of just hitting it over and over again. And it's just like, man, this thing is never going to get done. I hate this costume. And it can be such a mental mind fudge with you. There's no nice way of saying it. It's a mind fudge. And you don't want to
It's
go,
burnout.
yeah, you don't want to go with that mindset in when you wear that costume to a convention too, because then you're not going to have fun with it. And that's the whole point of cosplay, is to have fun with this. And if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to have fun wearing the costume. So it's good to have those breaks to just recharge, reset, feel fulfilled, and then you can kind of come back to the costume refreshed, ready to go. It's a lot of R words.
Burnout's never fun, yo.
No, been there, done that. I do not
In
recommend it.
general.
Not because of
And
cosplay.
you don't want that to affect your zest for cosplay itself. Not just for
Right.
that particular cosplay, but your will to work on costumes in general. Because it can really just kind of bring you down if you slog for a while. If you hit the point where you want to throw your sewing machine across the room, you need to stop and take a break.
You need to take a breather there.
You don't throw your sewing machine.
You would be very unhappy and upset afterwards.
Not to mention, parts may break off and go flying places, and that's also not cool. Particularly if you have, mobile critters that you need to
Oh,
worry about.
good Lord, yeah, especially with the little ones. Woo! Pets be safe, please.
Yes, all of this is so that your experience with cosplay is not only easier, but it's more
More
fun. You'll
fun.
have a better success rate, which builds success upon itself, and you'll enjoy the experience more. And that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah. That was a very good one, Amber. I did not have that on my list, and I feel a little ashamed by that. That's okay. My list is really, really big, and I think what you did was a good one to end on, because there will be many versions of this. We have many tips.
Many iterations, many volumes, and
Yes.
also, I still have to remind myself that it's okay to take a break once in a while. It hasn't internalized for myself yet. Sometimes I just want to go, 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 throw sewing
Yeah.
machine, go, 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 go. No. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay to take a break and to step away and do
Yes.
something else. Or to do nothing else. If you want to do nothing else, don't do anything. You do what you want to do.
Taking a nap is perfectly fine. You can read a book. You can sit in a hammock and stare at the beautiful sky, provided the sky is beautiful at the time. Take your pick. Well, I mean, if it's in the middle of a severe storm, please don't do
Please don't do
it.
that. Too funny.
Be safe. Anyways, speaking of being safe, if you would like to tell us your own fun cosplay horror stories or your own tip, things that you wish that you knew before you started working on your cosplay, or perhaps you would like to give tips to Mr. Nick Cage in case he wants to start making his own costumes, feel free to let us know on any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For all of our viewers, it's located underneath Amber. For those who are listening to us, you can go to cospod.org, Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter as CosPodcast.
You can also listen to us on any of your favorite podcast
We are literally
aggregators.
on all of them. It is.
We're everywhere.
We are on every single one of them. It is awesome now. It's like the first time in ages I haven't had to go harumphing around and hitting the update button. Like, we're everywhere. It's great.
If the feed stops working, please tell us.
Please tell us, for the love of all that's holy.
Indeed, if you would like to let us know that our feed is not working, you can email us podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we would like to say please stay safe out there. Please keep wearing those masks so that we can all get back together as soon as possible, wearing our favorite costumes and having the best possible time. Otherwise, we hope that your cosplaying is going well. We will see you next time in episode 228. Goodbye, everybody.